Indian filmmaker Meera Nair's first feature, Salaam Bombay, is the story of a 10-year-old boy who joins the hundreds of abandoned children living on the streets of Bombay. It's just been released on home video. Nair's other films have been documentaries exploring such subjects as Indian strippers, Indian women pressured to abort their female fetuses, and Indian immigrants living in Manhattan. Nair drew on her documentary experience to make Salaam Bombay. She shot on location and cast 17 of Bombay's street children in the film, kids who'd never acted.
The idea came to me as early as 1983, really just as an image of a bunch of kids who surrounded my taxi at a red light in a very crowded junction. And there was a kid who was maimed, who had only a torso, who sat on a wooden platform and moved himself by on a wooden platform on wheels but with his hands. And he was somebody who sort of hooked on to the scooter in front of me as the light changed to green. And then I was terrified of what would happen to him, and he just sort of let himself go by the momentum of the speed and just sort of pirouetted in the middle of the junction, sort of raising his hands to stop this imaginary applause. And I was just very struck by the flamboyance and the resilience and also the dignity of the children on the streets that I saw, that they would do absolutely everything or anything to get a buck, and only very rarely beg. And the dream was then to have a workshop, much like I used to have as an actress 10 years ago in India, for street children.
The children who you worked with for this movie are used to living on the street and doing anything they can to make a buck. Did any of the kids, when you were doing the workshop or shooting the film, pull any scams? Did you have to dismiss any troublemakers?
One of our deals in the workshop was we were very careful, you know, to not be taken for a ride and not to be considered sort of guilty liberals. We had a job to do, and it was serious work, and when they accepted this work, these were the conditions. On a good day for a street kid, he makes about 10 rupees, which, I mean, it sounds absurd when you compare it to the dollar, but 10 rupees buys you, you know, 2 to 3 meals a day and maybe leftover money for a movie or something. So we paid the kids 25 rupees a day for the workshop, which is like 2.5 times what they would make, and give them food and everything. But the way we did this was we paid them 10 rupees in hand and 15 rupees in a bank and showed them how the bank worked, because a large part of this workshop was not just to train kids for acting, but also to, you know, expose them to different things about life, saving money or a bank or a postage, how a post office works, things like that, you know. So the deal was, once they accepted the workshop, they could see how their money grew every day, and at the end of 6 weeks, they would get the whole money. And so they had to be with us because of the time we were investing in them for the entire 6-week period.
Can you tell us something about the background of the boy who you chose as the lead actor in your movie?
Shafiq Syed is from Bangalore, which is a town in South India. He doesn't get along with his family. His father works in a bicycle shop and is an alcoholic. His father wanted him to work in this bicycle shop with him, and Shafiq didn't want to. He tells the story that his father chained him to the shop with a hot bicycle chain, and when that happened, he just broke the chain and ran and met a friend who was going to Bombay, and he said to him the magic words, "Come to Bombay, come." And Shafiq just jumped on the train and came to Bombay. And when we met him, which was about a year after he'd arrived in Bombay, he was a rag picker on Grant Road Bridge, which is actually one of our major locations in the film. And he's very much a loner, very much a street kid. He doesn't, you know, like many street kids, is addicted to independence and just doesn't want discipline of any sort. But he's a remarkable child. He has great powers of concentration. He's very, very clever, very quick to grasp things. You know, within a week, he understood the notion of continuity and camera angles and, you know, his costume and where he was in the scene before, and all that he had completely grasped.
You shot on location, and many of your scenes were in the red light district. You had scenes in whorehouses. You had scenes in railway stations. You had one scene in the middle of a festival that was actually taking place
right
during the shoot. Were you chased away from any of these locations? Did you have to bribe anybody in order to be allowed to shoot?
Well, the way I entered the red light area, which is a very difficult place to enter to shoot, especially a full-fledged feature film, is I went in front of a union of 16 madams, sort of bejeweled and silked, you know, very, very imposing looking. And they were quite, I think, taken aback by the fact that I was a woman also. And also that I had a number of women working in the crew. And I told them the story quite honestly, which is not a story that depicts the red light area in any great light. And they just embraced me and said, "You're a woman like us and you're welcome." And so then I said, when I finally found the brothel I wanted, I had to negotiate with that particular madame who owned it. And we made a deal where I would work on the day, on the hours that she didn't work, which was during the daytime, and their work is at night. But so the interior locations was often not a problem, because these were deals we made before we began to shoot. What was a problem was exterior locations. We shot a lot on the streets, and they were troublemakers. The community was generally, I would say, very helpful. But they were troublemakers. Anytime they see a film being shot, they think that's money, and that means extortion. And there was a gang of fundamentalists, you know, in Bombay, who would really try to make trouble for us sometimes. So, you know, as a result, the atmosphere of our unit of people making this film was one that nobody could sit on their butt. I mean, they all had to pitch in and control crowds, whether you're an actor or whether you're a technician, you know, you do that.
Have you been able to keep in touch with the kids who you cast in your movie?
Yes, absolutely. We've put together with great amount of effort, but to our satisfaction, a non-profit foundation called Salaam Balak Trust. Balak means child. And we've raised money through charity premieres of Salaam Bombay in India, about $42,000, and we are looking to raise about, you know, $70,000 more. And this will fund the operation, the permanent operation of two learning centers for 30 to 35 street kids each. But a number of the Salaam Bombay children will not, you know, are already doing what they want to do. And this place will operate for other street kids like them. Our kids, of the 17 in the film, about 5 have gone to home to their villages, to their parents. About 4 are in school. And about the 3 older kids are doing little businesses of their own. So they're all in a very good place. The only kid who is constantly a challenge for us is Shafiq, the main child.
How do you mean that?
In the sense that he has always wanted to do certain things, like go to school, have a job, become a mechanic. These are the 3 things he's wanted to do over the last year. And every time it's been set up for him to do that, he's dropped out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll still do what he, you know. The idea is that he has to feel, you know, responsible for himself, which is the entire idea of our working with kids, that we are always there in some way, but you have to take on the responsibility yourself.
Your films really have focused on people who are marginalized, shut out from society. Yet it strikes me you're probably from a pretty prosperous background yourself, having gone to Harvard. You seem to really relate, though, to people who have been shut out.
Well, I come from a middle-class background. I went to Harvard on a full scholarship, thanks to the university. I must say, yes, I mean, I never thought about it before I began in film, but looking back, it's always about people living on the edge. And I must say that the kinds of people who do that and who survive it are inspirational to me. I'm inspired by their spirit of survival, by their resilience, and by their humor, and by the fact of how they lead their lives in a situation that I would certainly consider extremely difficult or impossible. And I like what really inspires me is the lack of self-pity about this. You know, the last thing they want is pity. And that is something that that teaches me about a way of living.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us about your movie.
Thank you.